favorite tradition with her boys growing up was writing thank you letters to God, thank you God letters at Thanksgiving, which I think is pretty cool, recalling all the blessings of the year. And when they had filled up a whole page, then they could list on the back the things they wanted for Christmas. So all
they wrote really big sometimes.
Yes. Smart.
And she said the underlying teaching point was God provides in abundance, and that it changed their attitudes and what they asked for, because what could be better than asking for Jesus? So give me a hand and welcome indeed.
I'm going to have audience participation because I don't like to just hear you speaking all the time. I've been speaking to almost 3-year-old and an 8-month-old all day. Buzz and I are now taking care of our grandchildren, Lydia May and Silas William, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I was really excited just to get here and see some other adults. I love them dearly. I've told people it's one of the greatest blessings of this season of my life. I feel like I should come in and sit in the transition discussion next month, because it is an interesting time of transition in our house, and I'll share that with you guys a little bit later on. Thank you for that lovely introduction. You're just so sweet, Rachel. I've enjoyed my time with you immensely. I think your theme of walking with God is powerful in a lot of ways, because not only is it permeate what happens to you as a woman, as a Christ follower, but it permeates everything that happens within the life of your home, in parenting, in the relationships you have with sisters in Christ, and the relationships you have with the world around you. I don't know how many of you in the pandemic, I will tell you, I thought that was one of the toughest seasons a lot of us have ever had to go through, but there were hidden blessings. Any of you agree with me on that? So one of the hidden blessings, some of you are very good friends of mine, one of the hidden blessings for us was we've got a beautiful little lake that's right behind our neighborhood. It's Lake Mercer. It's not as well known as maybe Burke Lake, Lake Accotink. We, on average, Buzz and I, our son Chris over to the far right had little Lydia in the stroller. These are some of the Foundry kids that we mentor. Buzz and I hiked Lake Mercer probably 3 to 4 times a week over that 2-year span of time. And you know how people say, when we go back to normal, we're not sure what we'll put back in? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I don't want to compromise on are those walks. Getting out, being in creation, be it with your children, be it with girlfriends and God. But one of my favorite life verses is, this is the way, walk in it, Isaiah 30:21. Bethany and I got to go to Israel together in 2016, and we both got, you've got your ring on, don't you? We got matching rings, and you could have something put in Hebrew, and I picked Isaiah 30:21 because we walked all over Israel. But it was such a great reminder that our life is a walk with God. And so I really commend you, your team, on the theme for this year. I want to touch on 3 things tonight. We're going to go through what it is to have fruits of the Spirit, because bearing fruit, I knew right away that was where I wanted to go with this. I'll be honest with you, the visual there on the far right, the fruit of the Spirit, does anybody know where that came from? The bookstore! So I'm in there, and it was, you know, several months ago when Rachel asked if I'd do this, and I'm browsing, and I love doing field trips to buy good God gifts, right? And I go to check out, and I'm like, Mary! Oh, Mary! This will be what I talk about! So anyway, you guys are getting a bookstore bag at the end of this talk. The beginning piece, though, I want to say there's 3 parts to this, and I'm going to tell you what the emphasis is in my life and where I've put the greatest thought and prayer and just working on my own spiritual maturity is really thinking through being transformed by God and what His purpose is for my life. But how you do that is by being in the Word, being in prayer, being in community, and it's in abiding. And we're going to have some verses that go with this, and I'm going to ask you guys to kind of process through with me. the bulk of your discussion time tonight, you're going to have three questions. I'm going to let you unpack the whole concept of the different fruits of the Spirit in your lives. We're going to talk about it in general terms, but I'm going to be saying to you a couple of times that each one of us is unique. Each one of us is given unique fruit by God through the Spirit, and it isn't meant for comparison. I mean, you made some wonderful comments. I'll tell you honestly, when you're the child of, my parents were undercover and we lived overseas all of my childhood up until almost the age of 14. My mom and dad were big on hospitality because you could only talk to certain people about what you were doing, right? And so it became, my mom and dad really modeled that for me in a lot of ways. I love seeing it because it's grounded in Christ more than anything else. All right. Ooh. Who got the 2 Corinthians 5:17 passage? Who had that card?
I have that one.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Transformed for God's purpose and glory. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Great. So I would say to you, why the butterfly? One thing was, I thought it was really cool that I found a graphic that matched the verse I love here. How's that? But really, let me tell you this. It's one of God's best examples of the transformative work of metamorphosis. God lovingly put his design and redemptive work on display in all of creation, but we really do see it in the butterfly. We get to see a glimmer of his handiwork. And I'd say petals on the flower, like the azalea over on the table, and leaves that change in every season. One of the books that I just finished, and I finished a Foundry Bible study with a group of girls last night. How many of you have read When Striving Cease? Did any of you get the opportunity to read Ruth Cho Simon's book? In my handout to you, it's the number one book I recommend that you try to read over the summer, as the Lord wills it with your busy lives. But listen to what she has to say from that book. As followers of Jesus, we know who we were before grace and who we are now because of grace. And we even know where we're headed, being made like Jesus every single day through progressive sanctification. There's an overarching theme not only in her book, but something that I've really been dealing with in my own life. You have to feel the crushing burden of sin to then see how his grace removes that sin. The whole concept of us being in Christ, being a new creation, knowing that the old has passed, behold, the new has come, is to really embrace the grace that he's giving us when we're empowered by his strength and ability to bear fruit. Jesse said this on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. He made this comment to all of us: may these written words take residence in your life. And I had selected a group of verses that I thought would really encourage each of you to be thinking about the transformative work of God in your life. Someone has a little card that has John 8:36 and Romans 5:10.
I do.
Thank you. And read it loudly, please.
John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life.
So the first one, John 8:36, the thought is the freedom that we're given. And so often we can forget what that freedom is. From Romans 5:10, that we're reconciled by the death of his Son. We've got a relationship with God, and that should empower us in terms of our life. Who has the Galatians and Ephesians passage? Go right ahead.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Ephesians is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Well, that's wonderful. We're going to have you say that again. I should have said, who's got the Galatians passage? Because there's two Galatians passages, so I apologize for that. Who has Galatians 4, 4 to 5? Do you have that one? Thank you. And Ephesians 1:13.
In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
So wonderful words again, to be adopted, to know that we are part of a family, not only as sisters in Christ in this room, but we are adopted by our Father. And from the Ephesians passage, the thing that really has struck me, I came to Christ later in life at the age of 30, and to understand that I was sealed with the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit was going to be alive in my life, what a concept. You can feel like I'll never be able to measure up for what I have to do, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. The Holy Spirit is right here in each one of us in this room, and it's powerful to really embrace that. Someone has our final two, the Colossians 1 and 1 Thessalonians.
I have it.
Okay.
Colossians 1, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And 1 Thessalonians, for we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you.
So another great concept, and I talk about it often in evangelism, the whole piece of understanding that we've been given redemption, but so importantly, the forgiveness of sin. When I talk to people very often, you know who the worst critic is of you? You. And very often people will say, there's no way that there's a holy God that could love me and what I've done in my life. The other piece is to know that we've been chosen. What a wonderful embrace that gives us. So as new creations in Christ, it produces fruit in each of us, but then in our families, our church, and our community. A couple of thoughts about transformation. That fruit bearing is a natural response of his faithful kindness to us. The verse that I go to often in my own thinking of this is 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. It is not anything of our own merit. It's nothing that we have done. Our love response is really because of what God's done for us. The generous, unmerited favor of God allows us to walk in his grace. The wonderful thing is, ladies, we have nothing to prove when our identity is in Christ. When you let grace inform your daily life, I will tell you, it would naturally translate into bearing fruit. It was interesting to me, Paul David Tripp, Instruments in Hands of the Redeemer, made a comment, a healthy spiritual life is rooted in heart change as opposed to fruit that is artificially produced just for the sake of appearance. So when we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are made new creations, but where does that creation really happen? It happens in each of our individual hearts. Listen to this passage from his book. If a tree produces bad apples year after year, there's something drastically wrong with its system, down to the very roots. I won't solve the problem by stapling new apples onto branches. They'll also rot because they're not attached to the life-giving root system. And next spring, I'll have the same problem all over again. I'll not see a crop of healthy apples because my solution has not gone to what? The heart of the problem. If the tree's roots remain unchanged, it will never produce good apples. So I summarize that for saying that we're transitioning into a discussion next. If we're not alive in Christ, rooted in God's word, renewed in our faith, walking in the Spirit, we're not going to be able to produce fruit. If we do produce fruit and we don't have our roots in the right place, we're doing it, I'd say, in our own strength, in our own effort, and not necessarily will you find joy in it, right? Would you guys agree with me on that? So all of that to say, it comes from abiding. So, who has the John 15:1-5 passage? Thank you.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:1-5.
Thank you so much. So what does Jesus make clear in this passage? We're going to experience fruit if we're connected to who? Him. So when Rachel invited me to do this, I was really praying through, do we jump in and talk about all the different fruits and how do we manifest those as moms and what we're doing? Well, I'll tell you where I've come in a 30-year walk with Christ is that it's the transformation of my heart, acknowledging that. But what am I doing to be filled and to have my roots run deep, to know that I'm attached to the vine, because the fruit that we produce really in the end is to all glorify God. But if we're doing it in our own power and our own strength and don't feel connected to the source, I'm not sure, A, it's probably the fruit that he wants to have last. Couple of thoughts. Abiding is active. It's a choice. It doesn't happen passively. It's a deliberate pursuit. It's going to cause us to then be, I would tell all of you, for where you are in your seasons of life, to be discerning about time and priorities. And guess what? I stand here today, age 63. I'm a grandmother. I was telling Karen Barnes, have something every night this week. Only in God's strength. That doesn't always happen, but you guys are living a life where something happens probably every single day of the week. And you know what? In the end, we have to evaluate our time and our priorities and make it where we know that it's what God wants us to be doing instead of us just checking things off of a list. So abiding is active, as I said. We draw our strength from the vine himself, Jesus. The thing I love about this, and you'll notice I wanted to give credit to where credit is due. I told Bethany, I don't know how many of you have had a chance to listen to the Grace Laced podcast that Ruth Cho Simons and her executive assistant Eve Stipes do. They did a season one right around the time that Ruth came to speak with us, the end of January. You want to know what I love about it, ladies? It's 20 minutes. And it's a wonderful conversation. Eve Stipes is in Indianapolis. Ruth's up in her mountain in Colorado. They process just different things. The first season were all of Ruth's famous sayings, like you don't have to be blooming to be growing. And there's a whole lot of things that she says like that that are priceless. Grounded in scripture, always. But the thing I love, and I told Bethany, is not only do they do a wonderful discussion that's about 15, 16 minutes long. They then speak to, each one of them speaks to, what is the gospel truth about this topic? And what's the one thing I'm going to do in my life? Last season, Ruth said the one thing she was going to do is make her bed every day. I love the transparency of that. They released their second season. Ruth and her team are doing a whole thing on spiritual disciplines this season. And today's discussion was all about prayer. And for me, I felt like it was God's timing. You know how you feel like God gives you those God winks? It was amazing to hear a whole discussion about prayer. And the one thing that she was going to do is she said she was going to block out at least an hour on her calendar every week to just do a dedicated time of reviewing scripture, writing scripture, praying through scripture. She says she prays through the day. How many of you do that? Do you try to? We pray through the day. I pray as we drive. Pray as you go. Pray as you lay down. But she wants to do some things that are a bit more intentional, and I found that really, really exciting. The comment that comes from this, it came from their quarterly magazine devotional. It was the fact that blooms come before the fruit. We get really focused on output. We get focused on things on the calendar. We get focused on the accomplishment. But if we're not abiding, that's where the blooming's happening in each of your lives and in mine. There's no coming into bloom without being grounded in who God is and who he says we are. The thing I liked about this was, you know, how is the Spirit? And think about this in your own life. How is the Spirit growing you in your ability to just simply recognize God's presence? It's been a really busy life season. I'll talk about that with you guys a little later on. I have noticed God providing in my family and in different things I'm involved in abundance. Our capacity to choose to walk by the Spirit in the uncertainties of life, in the big moves, the big transitions, the things that we face. Eyes to see his faithful provision and care. We've gone through a couple of health scares over the last year that have been fairly significant in our life for Buzz. And, you know, I've seen God's provision and care in that. A love for his word. Dr. Michael Easley, the former pastor at this church, said something once that I never forgot. He said that it is so important, instead of saying, I have to find time to spend in God's word, I love spending time in God's word and being able to make that commitment. And I know for where you guys are in your lives, that's not always easy to do. But when you do it, it's not checking off a good thing for God. It's It is the thing that blooms in your soul that gives you what you need to face your daily life. The other thing I want to talk about is that it's incremental growth. But when we neglect our spiritual life, and what I mean by that is ignoring the Word of God, skimping on prayer, when we withhold areas of our lives from the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, we're like branches that are broken off from the vine. And my caution to you is when we love, desire, pursue, fear the same things that the rest of the world does, we're not abiding in Christ, even though our lives could be filled with church-related activity. You can be doing a lot of good things for God, but if you are in any way fearful, looking at the world and letting that dictate how you parent, how you live, it is good to take those fears to the Lord in prayer and go to His Word to get His reassurance. We have to be really, really basing it on who He is and not who we think we are. All right. Who's got the... Oh, you've got our beautiful passage. Do you mind reading it again? Thank you.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you. I think they're great verses, and I need to hear them every day, so I'm glad you said them twice. In the Galatians passage, Paul's reminding his readers that the good fruit that we desire in our Christian lives is not a product of our will, our strategy, or our intention. It's only the result of walking by the Spirit, the indwelling of Christ in our lives. This passage, the Galatians passage, is referred to as keeping in step with the Spirit. So your whole theme for this entire year about walking in faith, I think, really culminates in this. Our walk of faith is one step at a time, one work at a time, but who's it for? Purpose and glory is the Lord. The Ephesians passage is one that is near and dear to my heart, and I'm going to talk about it in just a couple of minutes. Rachel referred to it. It's the one I've used for the inner city ministry stuff that I've done for over 18 years now. The fact that God has work for each of us to do in His kingdom, I think we should rest in that. Very often we can get ahead of ourselves thinking, I've got to be doing all these good things for God, all these good things for God. In the end, I think it's really important to put everything to commitment of Scripture and prayer, and I think godly counsel of good friends. Sometimes I think we can take on too much, and I've had, there's a couple people in this room that have helped counsel me through that, because I have a tendency to be one of those that's working through a 12-step program to learn how to say no. Anyway, keeping in step with the Spirit. God is after what? Your heart. How many times have I said heart tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Heart is what it's really all about. In each of these fruits of the Spirit, you need to ask God to teach us to love the way He does. And I love this thought, that we can stop striving so hard to be fruitful and instead simply be faithful. It isn't, you don't have to do everything. You just need to do the things that the Lord leads you to do, and not by the comparison game, which is so prevalent in our society. But this is the thought I loved the most. As fruit is unique to each tree, our fruit is unique to each of you in this room. God knows what He is entrusting each of us to and what He expects us to do. You can stop striving to look fruitful, be faithful. Couple of thoughts on that. Rather than focusing on what you've accomplished each day, how consistently you read your Bible, how patient you are with your children, yes, let's try to do that. Let us choose first to focus on loving and following Jesus. When that's the primary relationship in my day, I find that I'm much nicer to Buzz. I'm much more delightful with my grandchildren. I'm nicer to people when I'm driving and in the grocery store. So how do you remain faithful? By choosing day in and day out to respond in faith to God's faithfulness. And when we do, I can leave the blooming and honestly the fruitfulness to Him. It's all His work. So you're going to spend some time unpacking these fruits at your table time. So I'm not going to bore you with that. I wanted to close out my time with you guys to give you some actual examples. I wanted to walk you through a little bit of my own life. because I think it's really good to just be practical. And what I want to say to you up front is just because Dee Dee Collins does these things does not mean you need to be doing these things. I want to share with you what God's taught me about bearing fruit in my life. But instead of doing family, church, community, I want to go backwards, because the place that he's doing probably the most significant work in my life right now is within the context of my family, because it's a whole different season of life that you guys aren't there yet. But I'm hoping I can encourage you as you face that. So one of my favorite quotes is the very first Bible study I did as a Christian was written by a man by the name of Henry Blackaby. He wrote a phenomenal book called Experiencing God. Has anybody ever read that book? I didn't know if I'm dating myself, you know. Sorry, I'm getting over a really bad season of allergies and asthma. And it usually happens at about minute 20. Anyway, so his great quote that I have embraced all of my life, it was the first big Bible study I ever participated in. I ended up leading it down in Texas. God is at work all around us. He is simply inviting us to join him there. So when I talk about some of these things, I don't want you to think that we're doing this great thing for God and it's all about us. He's doing the work. We get the privilege of stepping into that work and being a part of it. I'm going to walk you through. Central Union Mission is a place that is just near and dear to my heart. And I'm going to combine a couple of examples all at once. I never had gone on a mission trip. I went on my first mission trip when I was almost 40 years old, and it was an inner city mission trip to Washington, D.C. We went on a Thursday night. Bethany's been on one with me. We went in on a Thursday night. We come home on Sunday, and we stay in the inner city. And you stay there, you pray over the city, you serve in a lot of different organizations, and honestly, some are Christian-based, some are not. You become the light of Christ in a place like Food and Friends, So Others May Eat, DC Central Kitchen. Well, the thing is, that group in the center there was part of, we've done, I think, 17 intergenerational trips now over the span of time that we've been doing them. But my very first trip, I got the opportunity to walk into this place called Central Union Mission. It's 137 years old. It was started to minister to Civil War veterans coming out of the Civil War. It is the largest single Christian-based organization helping the homeless and the hurting in the nation's capital. The big thing that we're well known for our men's shelter. It houses 185 men at night. I've been serving dinner there with different friends and volunteers for about 18 years. The big thing that I'm passionate about, you heard that I'm on the board of directors. I joined that 3 years ago, never intended to. I like going and serving dinner in the kitchen, but they asked me to be on the board. The thing I care about is what a lot of people don't know is that we minister to close to 5,000 families a month. Food, clothing, we're moving into helping with transitional housing, and imagine what happened in the pandemic. Predominantly single parent households. Predominantly women, a lot of them grandmothers raising grandchildren. And we went from about 4,000 to 7,000 during the pandemic, and we were able to meet every single need. Well, tomorrow night, we're doing a major donor fundraising event trying to raise $1 million in one fell swoop, because we've got a 5-year project that we're going to replicate everything we've done at our men's shelter. At our men's shelter, we have social workers, we have a medical clinic, a dental clinic, we do high school classes, college classes, job training. There's a thing called the Restoration Transformation Program. Over the last 2 years, we have placed close to 200 men in housing and jobs who used to be homeless. So the goal is to do something like that at the Family Ministry Center. This group of guys on the left-hand side were graduates of our Restoration Transformation Program. How many of you know D.C. Washington? Isn't he such a wonderful man? He's on the board of directors with me, and he came because every year at the Family Ministry Center, I thought of you guys, for all that we do with Assist and everything else, every year we do a huge baby shower for the families having babies in the inner city. And DC came, what a cool guy, you know, he came and sang and prayed. And then this group over here on the right, board of directors, what do you think homeless people say they need more than anything else? Socks. So we did a big drive to collect socks. And then I just wanted to say in the community, if any of you are interested, I know Central Union Mission's a big commitment. There was a nice young mom that reached out to me today. They do have a minimum age of 12. It's for liability purposes. The Family Ministry Center is a little bit more open to take kids. But the Lamb Center, that picture over on the far left, every day God sets a table at the Lamb Center. They actually do a Bible study every single day at this daytime homeless shelter. And you can take kids there. And it's in Fairfax. It's about 15 minutes from the mission, from here. In the center, because people say to me, what do you do to bless in the community? Well, you know about Mission Muffins, don't you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you will if you don't by the end of tonight, because there's a surprise. Anyway, so there's a homework assignment, actually. But the Mission Muffins in the center at Christmas, I did little boxes and wrote a Christmas devotional and took them to all of our neighbors. I mean, that's what you guys do, that kind of stuff. But, you know, you can do those things with your kids. Mm-hmm. Also in the community, do any of you know a gal by the name of Carol Curran? Does anybody know Carol Curran? Every year, that woman knits over 200 scarves that we take to the shelter and to the Family Ministry Center. A wonderful widow who just wants to pour into the lives of other people. I think many of you know about Operation Backpack. You've supported it for years, helping all the inner city kids that maybe would never get anything new in terms of school supplies. But I wanted to just close on the being blessed and fruitful in the community. That mural on the right-hand side is in our chapel at Central Union Mission. We host chapel every single night. The gospel's presented every single night, 365 days of the year. There was a guy that was getting his master's degree in fine arts at American University, and he wanted to do a visual representation of how lives are transformed by Christ. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Central Union Mission, by Christ. So look at the far left, the downtrodden, you know, they're eating and they're downcast, but then you see the living water of John 7, 37 to 38, opening up the Bible for the first time, and look at, on the far left, they're all praising the Lord. It's huge. It takes up an entire wall. It gets me every single time. I want to just say, as I close out the community piece, is I want you to remember that very often you may be the only light of Christ somebody ever sees. So just in the engagements you have in your day-to-day life with your kids, you should be shining brightly. The verse that I go to all the time, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Give glory to the Father who is in heaven. All right. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my voice. All right, now we're moving into the local church. So I will say to you, there are a couple of things that have really resonated for me in this. These women that are in the outer circle here are gals that I've been blessed to be a mentor to through our spiritual mentoring ministry. When Rachel mentioned that I stepped away from my career after 33 years, I had done a lot of professional mentoring, and I still do. But the thing that Bethany and I were most passionate about, along with Kathy Holly and other women on our vision team, was what are we doing to come alongside women one-on-one who want to work on their walk of faith with Christ, but also be just in relationships. We've been talking about this, right, Karen? Showing up, being able to gather, and after 2 years of not being able to do that. I've often said, and Bethany knows this, that the spiritual mentoring ministry gave me the daughters I never had. God's done that on steroids, because Buzz and I are a mentor couple in Foundry, and there's lots of them. But anyway, what I've loved about this is each one is individual. Each one has a different story. And the only one, G and Julianne, have just been just amazing bright lights in my life. The one that I'm going to just touch on is Heather. We met professionally 13 years ago. She was a young single mom of a little boy that wasn't even 2 years old yet, and had really struggled in her whole life and her childhood, pretty much disowned because she had a child out of wedlock. We met professionally, and we gathered, built a relationship. She came to what was MOPS at the time, and we've had to go through some ups and downs, and she came to faith in Christ 2 years ago. She's now a mother of two. a single mom. We're in my kitchen. We were working on making a wonderful dinner. What I have loved is seeing the transformative work of 2 Corinthians 5:17 in that girl's life. She's now attending Emmanuel. She's growing a lot. She's in our outreach Bible study. I wanted to just say to you guys about that is the ministry of your presence is what speaks to people. Taking time to be with people. And it is important with what you're doing in your homes with your children. And you're also having an impact on others that are around you. And I think that's really important. The other part of this was in the middle there. We went on an evangelism mission trip to Cuba. And I don't know, have any of you ever done a foreign mission trip? That was my first one. My husband is almost fluent in Spanish, and it was one of the most powerful things I've ever done, but it was so wonderful to go with brothers and sisters in Christ from this church and go and share the gospel in a place like Cuba and help them grow their church. This is just another piece of it. The note I made to myself is the picture up in the far right, I said it's the basket thing that Bethany lets me do. And, you know, it's a joy, you guys, when you can use your gifts, whatever those are. My grandmother was a hat dresser. She would dress hats. I come from an entire family line of artists. If any of you have ever been in my home, my uncle's artwork is all throughout my home. So it's given me ways to channel my creative gifts, stuff with ribbon and tulle and all the rest. But it was really fun at the Ruth Cho Simons event to be able to give one away to Dana. These are just... I commend Bethany in terms of the leadership of women's ministry. What I've loved under her over 10 years of leadership by God's grace and the Spirit is the number of women that are involved in all the different ministries that we offer through women's ministry. It takes many hands. And what I love is that everybody's using their unique gifting, and I've been able to be a part of that. On the far left is a group of girls from Foundry that meet every other Monday night. We were doing a big dinner for Christmas. And then this is a group that just gathered in my home last night. What I've loved about this is the whole concept of community. I think we really, really miss out on that. And is that a fruit of what God does in our lives? I think it is. I think it is. It's really, really important. Finally, blessed to be fruitful in our family. A couple of things were mentioned by Rachel in the introduction. It's been a huge, huge season of transition. Friends have been asking me in recent weeks, what can we pray for? And I've said there have been a lot of milestones, a lot of celebrations, and a lot of transition. That is a beautiful thing. But it can also be kind of a heavy thing emotionally. Over the last couple of years, I've said goodbye to my dad, my father-in-law, my uncle who I cared for 5 years, and within the last 2.5 years, I've welcomed beautiful grandchildren. It is really important that we have transformed hearts and that we are grounded in Christ and in the Word and in our relationship with the Lord. I have to say, you know, little Lydia today, we played office because I was finishing up. Buzz says I kill trees when I come to talk to you people with all the handouts I do. But anyway, you know, little Lydia and I played office. She had papers all over my little office and was helping me. And let's go to Bible study. She wanted to wear my deacon badge. And it was just really, it was really kind of cute. It's probably for me, for all the things you guys I've done, that reach out into the community or to volunteer at things at the church, this is where I feel like I'm gonna be making a really lasting impact for eternity. We are a first generation Christian family. Buzz and I came to faith after we were married, 4 years. Tell you that story privately. The boys have each made a decision for Christ. We were baptized together as a family in 2013. And now I'm getting to see the fruit of that in the next generation in my family. This is a beautiful thing, being able to celebrate my Buzz. We did a big, big fun thing. 48 people went on his final flight to Florida. 65 were in Florida for the party. But I'm going to tell you now, we've made a commitment to each other in this season of life that whatever we're going to do, we're going to try to do it together. So we're grandparenting together. The evangelism outreach that we do is together. We really are trying to make the most of this season of our life together. And honestly, seeing my younger son get married was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Walking with the Lord lives in Raleigh, and that was just a really sweet thing. I want to just close about all of this relative to the fruit of what you're trying to produce in your children. It came from my devotional time just yesterday. It's Deuteronomy 11:19. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. The way you live your life is not only an offering to God, it really is something for your children to emulate. And there's going to be good days and bad days. I'm trying to potty train Lydia. Some of it goes well, some doesn't go so well. It's all a work in progress, Philippians 1:6. You're going to notice, I gave you this handout. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of the details. There's lots of ways for you guys to serve in the community and do things. But what I want to do is I'm giving you a homework assignment, and we're going to hand these out a little bit later. They're little bags. And I'm asking you to do two things. By the end of, within the next week, because they'll go stale, you're each getting two scones from Mission Muffins. And I want you to be able to encourage somebody by having a scone with them. And I did put on the handout, it includes your children, if you have children. And then the other thing is, these are butterfly flowers, butterfly seeds. I want you, with your kids, to plant them and enjoy them, and hopefully you'll see some butterflies come around. It's something for you to do over the summer months. And then once the flowers bloom, I'm trying to give you some reminders of what we've talked about tonight. Can you tell? I want you to take those flowers, and I want you to give them away. Because who doesn't love flowers? Particularly when you win an azalea at EMOMS. Anyway, that's your homework assignment. I want to close on a couple of things. Remember that God is the master gardener that produces the fruit in your life. To recap, to be transformed, remember that you're a new creation in Christ. You're to abide, to remember that apart from him you can do nothing, and to be fruitful. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips those that he calls. Missional motherhood is a recommendation. You'll see on the back of the short little handout that I gave you some books I recommend and some resources. Missional Motherhood by Gloria Furman is one of the best books I've ever read. I want to read this as we close. The Holy Spirit has no hands or heart like yours. No other woman on earth can do what you've been called to do. With a changed and open heart, fully reliant on God and his word, you can give the world what you alone were sent by God to give. Let us celebrate God's kindness and work of sanctification in our lives that leads to fruit that only he can produce. Closing verse that she gave with this, God desires us to do good works that glorify him. Therefore, it was our women's ministry verse a couple years ago. Therefore, as you've received Christ as Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I have in my office this sign. It's a beautiful thing that was given to me by some people in my office. I had it in my office for years. It's a quote by Irma Bombeck. When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would have not a single bit of talent left, and I could say to him, I used everything you gave me. I'm going to close this in prayer. We trust in your promises, Lord, to nurture our families and others through the power you alone provide. Father, break our pride, cultivate in us humble hearts as we sacrificially mother our children, minister to friends, and reach the lost in this dark world. This is not a lifestyle, Lord. Rather, you have created us to live a resurrection life, and all of it is for your glory. Thank you for this beautiful gathering of moms who love you, love their families, and seek to honor you with their lives. Thank you for the gift of your son, the extreme example of the selfless servant who gave his life for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, by your grace, we're called to live out the gospel before our children and an ever-watching world. Equip us, our families, to be a light for Jesus as you lead us. In the day-to-day and in the journey of life, may you be glorified as we serve in obedience and humility, and may we find joy in the journey as we do. We love you and we praise you in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you all very much.